This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The race for Wisconsin's 17th Senate District is a focus for the state's two major political parties as incumbent Republican Dale Schultz steps down after this year. The open seat could play a critical role in how the legislative majorities stack up next year. The 17th Senate District encompasses all or parts of eight counties in southwestern Wisconsin, including Juneau, Monroe, Richland, Sauk, Iowa, Lafayette, Greene, and Grant counties. The two candidates vying for the seat are Republican Howard Markline and Democrat Pat Bomhack, both from Spring Green. As part of our ongoing series of regional election forums, we invited both candidates to participate in a discussion focusing on the issues, their positions on a range of topics, and who they are. Scheduling conflicts prevented them from a joint appearance, so in separate interviews, we posed the same questions to both candidates, asking them to keep their responses to around a minute and a half. While content within the responses you'll hear has not been edited, some responses were cut short because they exceeded the allowed time. We're presenting the candidates in the order their interviews were recorded, beginning with Howard Markline and this introduction of himself.
Yeah, well, I'm Howard Markline. I was born and raised on a dairy farm in the Spring Green area. I still live a mile from our home farm. My roots are deep in this district. I went to school here in the district. My great-grandparents are buried here. My grandparents are buried here. My dad's buried here. And someday I'll be buried here. So my background, I'm a CPA. I worked in public accounting virtually my entire career. I've worked with businesses, individuals, farmers, nonprofits, audited lots of school districts in the state of Wisconsin. So I've got a good background in accounting and finance. I'm also a certified fraud examiner. So I do white-collar crime investigations, and I've been concentrating that area probably the last 10, 15 years. So I've worked with law enforcement and various agencies on investigations of that sort. So I currently am in the State Assembly. I represent the 51st Assembly District, and I was elected in 2010. I had no political experience prior to 2010. I'm a private sector person and was elected in 2010 and was reelected in 2012 and serve on a chair of the Ways and Means Committee, vice chair of the Joint Audit Committee, which has been pretty active last session on issues dealing with WEDC and the UW system. And I was the one that, at my office, we were the ones that initiated the investigation that revealed the $1 billion of cash in the UW system that a little over a year ago that nobody seemed to know about. So anyway, my roots are deep in the area, and I'm excited to serve this district in the state Senate.
So why was it that you decided to run for state Senate?
My skill set. I've got a very good skill set, which I've demonstrated during my two terms in the state assembly, and I think I can bring a very strong skill set to the state Senate. Again, I'm one of those people that has actually worked again in public accounting and worked in finance my entire career. I've got a very, very good skill set that I can bring to the state Senate.
So how would you describe the 17th Senate District, and what do you think are some of the major issues facing its constituents?
Well, I would characterize the 17th Senate District as being representative of the state of Wisconsin. It is neither a dark blue or a dark red district by any means. And we've seen that in the election results and in the recent past where, Governor Walker wins, strongly in the recall, and 5 months later, this district votes for President Obama. So, it's an independent district. In 2012, my reelection, 3,000 voters that voted for President Obama voted for me. So, again, we've got a lot of independent voters out here. Again, I think that's kind of representative of the state of Wisconsin. As far as issues out here, I would say a lot of what I'm hearing are kind of fiscal kinds of concerns, that people want their tax money spent efficiently, effectively. Property taxes are still a issue. People are concerned about their property taxes, especially people that are retired and on fixed incomes. It's a big cost for them. So rural schools, I think, are a big concern. Our rural schools are important to our communities here, and we've got some communities that where our schools, declining enrollment is putting a lot of pressure on their budget. So, with schools, jobs are the key. You know, we need to provide employment, and opportunities for family-supporting jobs out here, so families can raise their children here and send them to our schools.
If you were elected to the state Senate, what type of senator do you plan on being? What is it that you think constituents want?
My record in the state assembly, I think, is very bipartisan. Every bill that I have drafted and has been signed into law has been bipartisan. When you look at, I'm a problem solver. If we've got a problem, constituent problem in a area, I address those issues and reach across the aisle for effective solutions to that. In fact, I seek out people from across the aisle. There are a number of examples where on the ATV legislation that I authored and was signed into law, this year. We had an issue in our district in Lafayette County, and I knew we probably weren't the only county that had these issues. So I reached, I found out where else in the state there were similar concerns, and the bill ended up being, bipartisan, passed, I believe, unanimously. And again, I will always vote my district, and I guess I don't really, I'll vote my district and my principles first and foremost. And I've done that in the past, and I will continue to do that as a state senator.
And with the 17th Senate District seat being open, many people outside the district are watching this race. Does that put any added pressure on your campaign?
None. No, I don't care about other, outside pressures or whatever. I've always worried about doing my job, it's no different than on a football team. If a player needs to execute their job, the other players will take care of their responsibility. So no, I don't. I mean, that's I don't. I work incredibly hard. People in the legislature know that I'm one of the hardest working legislators in the building, and I work hard just because. I guess I was brought up on a farm, and that's all the better I know how to do, so I'll continue to work hard and do my job, and I guess I don't care about the other, the other politics.
So let's talk about some of the key issues now. Obviously, as you had said, you're hearing a lot about the economy when you're talking with constituents in the district. Candidates often tout job creation. If elected, how would you bring jobs to the 17th district? Are there any sectors that you see have a potential to grow? And do you have any sort of specific plan to grow jobs in the district?
If you're going to grow any organization, if it's a business, or whether it's employment in a region, economic region, the first thing we need to do is to keep what we have. It doesn't do any good if you're in a business to bring in new customers in the front door if your existing customers are leaving out the back door. And so, it's critical. Retention is critical, and we need to be sensitive to the issues affecting our current employers and be responsive, to their issues and their concerns. One of the things that I'm hearing now from our businesses is in many cases their inability to hire people. And I don't know if to what extent government can can deal with that, but there's help wanted signs all over the district, which is good news for people seeking employment. We've got in Monroe Truck is looking for welders. I mean, they need welders now to get product out the door. Grady Foundries in Reedsburg. I can give example after example in this district where there are openings for good-paying jobs. And right now, their biggest concern is just having somebody that can pass a drug test and show up for work. So the skill set, the bar isn't very high at this point. And again, to what extent government can be involved in that, I guess, I don't know. But one of the things that concerns that I have is, we have a tendency, I believe, I think it's maybe a subconscious bias on the part of our high schools, for example, that we need to send our children to a four-year college. And there's so many good jobs out there now and they all require a skill, welders, for example. And, I think that we need to make sure that we are letting our high school students know that there are some good opportunities out there. It's going to require skills, but a tech college may be a much more effective and productive use of their time and their tuition money than going to a four-year college.
I need to interrupt this response as we've asked candidates to keep their responses closer to a minute and a half during this edition of Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. An election forum with candidates in southwestern Wisconsin's 17th State Senate District, including our first guest, Republican Howard Markline. I'd like to move on now to the state's budget. Is there anything, if you were elected, you'd do differently to throw out whatever term you want, eliminate the debt, make sure we don't have a deficit, stop borrowing from these different accounts, things that should be done differently to balance the state's budget?
I'm a CPA, and, when I ran in 2010, I ran, on the idea of honest budgeting, and in the 8 years prior to that, we did absolutely nothing in the way of honest budgeting. Our deficits were increasing every year. We were borrowing from, transportation fund, patient compensation fund. We didn't pay our bills to Minnesota, reciprocity payments. It was just we delayed state aids to our school districts by 1 month to balance, the budget, and it was just disingenuous to the voters, I believe, and the taxpayers of the state. I guess first and foremost, I want to make sure that we don't go back to those methods that were used in the past. We need to make sure that the budget is truly balanced, that we're not using any accounting gimmicks to balance the budget. And and I will pledge to do that. So I tend to be a fiscal conservative, and I voted against the last budget. I was concerned about some of the projected deficits in the out years with the budget, and I will do what's right, from a fiscal standpoint for the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin and taxpayers of my district, more importantly.
Obviously, agriculture is a huge part of the way of life in the 17th district. Are there any agricultural issues that you'd like to tackle within the legislature?
Agriculture is huge in this district. I don't know that people really understand the importance of it from every corner, and it's a diverse agricultural base from the from the cheesemakers and in the southern part in the Monroe area up to the cranberry growers in Juneau County. And so we need to make sure that our farmers have certainty. I think, when you look at, farmers want to do the right thing. And, we've got this Implements of Husbandry bill that was passed and signed into law. And I think we need to keep a good eye on that bill to see if that works, because that's a brand-new bill. And we really won't know the feedback from the farmers and the producers out there until we've seen that in action. So that'd be something I want to keep my eyes on in the future. Our farmers are hardworking people, you know, and I know what it's like. I'm born and raised on a farm. We worked hard on the farm, and it's a great way of life. It's a great way to raise a family. It's also a key to a lot of our rural communities. If agriculture does well, those rural communities, do well. A lot of people spend a lot of money, locally. And we need to keep that strong. And again, I guess one of the areas would be the whole area of regulation and that kind of stuff to take a look at and see, hey, are the regulations we have on the books reasonable? Are there things that just don't make sense? The farmers I know are very sensitive about the environment. They're sensitive about how their animals are handled. So they want to do the right thing. We need to, allow them, to do that and hopefully keep growing this business. We've gotten some numbers out recently in terms of the economic impact of agriculture in the state of Wisconsin, and it's big.
I want to talk about education now. There are many, many issues surrounding K-12 education, but as you brought up before, rural school districts have special needs. So what are some of those special needs? What are things that the legislature can address, and what would you try to pursue if you were elected to the Senate?
The biggest challenge of our rural school districts is declining enrollment. Declining enrollment drives the size of the budget. That is the single biggest variable that drives the size of our budget. And, in the River Valley School District where I live, they've lost 200 pupils over a period of 9 years or so, and roughly at a $10,000 per pupil spending limit, that's $2 million. So those 200 children we don't have 200 students anymore in our school district that we had, 9 or 10 years ago. So the district budget has been reduced by $2 million. That's got nothing to do with state aid. It's just it's the revenue cap in which that school district operates. So I maintain that the number one concern of our rural schools is enrollment. And again, that kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, the employment opportunities, keeping agriculture strong in our rural communities, and doing everything we possibly can from a policy standpoint to make sure that families can live and send their children to our public schools. I mean, that's the number one concern that I have. Another concern, there's some unique challenges facing our schools. Transportation, for example. When I grew up, the school bus stopped at the Schwartz's and picked up 5 students, and then it stopped at Johnson's and picked up 5, and it stopped at our place, Amar Klein's, picked up 5, Radles 5. The bus made 4 stops, and they had 20 students on the bus. Today, that bus travels down my road, and there may be 2 or 3 students picked up in the whole valley here. So obviously, transportation costs have changed dramatically from when I went to school. You don't have the density anymore of the number of students in our rural communities like we have today. Transportation costs are higher than in urban areas or suburban areas. So,
and again, I need to interrupt this response because we've asked candidates to keep their responses to 1.5 minutes. I'm talking with Howard Markline, the Republican candidate in Wisconsin's 17th state Senate district race. But before we leave the topic of education, there's a lot of talk about expanding the state's voucher school program. Is this anything you support, and does it have a place within, rural school districts?
The voucher program in Milwaukee is, I guess you can debate the results, but it certainly is popular. And the Department of Public Instruction just came out with their school ratings, and no surprise to anybody, Milwaukee Public Schools is a failing school. And so You know, I mean, and that should be a concern to all of us, because it's our biggest school system in the state of Wisconsin, and to the extent that we don't educate those children, they're going to end up ultimately, I believe, on either welfare or in our prisons, and both of those alternatives are pretty costly. So, but as far as any further expansion, you know, I would want to take a look at how does that impact our school districts here? What is the fiscal impact of any, expansion of choice on my school districts out here? The current model in Milwaukee is such that, it's cheaper for us as a state, cheaper for taxpayers, for those students to go to a Catholic or a parochial school in the Milwaukee area than it is for us to send them to the public school. And so, I mean, as I always do, I always take a look at what is the impact on my local school districts first, and what's the impact on the state of Wisconsin and state taxpayers.
Are there any higher education issues that, if elected to the Senate, you'd want to pursue?
Well, I mentioned, you know, I was one of the people that unearthed the $1 billion of extra money at the UW system last year. And as a result of that, we have a tuition freeze at the UW. I'm pleased with our new president, the UW system, Ray Cross. I think Ray is a good communicator. I've met with him many times. I've met with his fiscal people many times. He's been very transparent with me and other legislators on the budget issues. And so, you know, I'm hopeful that we can have a much better relationship with the UW system administration than we did in the past. I mean, that was not good in the past. It had been, I think, deteriorating for some time, so I'm happy we've got a new president, and hopefully we're going in a new direction. So, our UW system has to be effective, and we need to, again, be as effective and as efficient with taxpayer dollars as we possibly can. Those tuition dollars need to be spent wisely. Our students is high enough right now, and so again, we got to make sure we're effective with how we spend that money. And with our tech colleges, I think we've got great opportunities for our tech colleges to be a part of the solution for getting people employed and for meeting the employment needs of our employers. So, again, I think that our tech colleges are critical. They need to play probably an increasing role in the training of our students and people returning, to the classroom at whatever age they might be.
There are no active frac sand mines in the 17th Senate District currently, but the DNR has identified that deposits are there. You know, in that situation, how should the state work with frac sand mining companies and municipalities? Or do you think the state should completely stay out of it? Should municipalities have any sort of say in frac sand mining?
My preference is that we have, local, control largely over, the whole frac sand mining area. The local roads are and communities are going to be most effective, so they need to have a significant role in the the planning and permitting and of those frac sand sites and proposals. So I think I would largely hope, my hope, that our local communities would be involved in that, and I, like with a lot of issues, I hope that you hope that they're reasonable and fair, not picking this one and denying another one. So if it's fair, I think local control is certainly preferential from my standpoint.
And you talked about the independent nature of the 17th district before, and obviously if you are the one who's elected in this upcoming race, you're following in the footsteps of Dale Schultz, who at least over the last few years has been known for being a quite moderate Republican. Do his actions have any influence on how you'd serve the district?
No. I'm my person. I have my, my values, my principles. I listen. I talk to a lot of people, as I'm out and about. And, I have demonstrated that in my tenure in the state assembly, and that's the kind of senator, I will be. And, I listen to my constituents, and that's they're my bosses. That's who I represent. So, I will be a strong advocate for them in the state senate.
Howard Markline, are there any other major issues for you in this upcoming election?
Well, I just think that, we need to keep fighting for rural, rural Wisconsin, rural America. It's a challenge. The issues here are vastly different from the issues that you hear about in Madison and in Milwaukee. I need to be a strong, and I will be a strong advocate for our issues out here. And I'm effective. I get things done. I've demonstrated that in the state assembly, and I will demonstrate that again in the state senate.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about at this point?
No, I'm just looking forward to meeting more people as I am out and about on the campaign trail here. And I feel so blessed to have had the opportunity to serve in the state assembly. Met so many wonderful people, and I look forward to serving the residents of the 17th Senate District in the state senate.
Republican Howard Markline is a candidate in Wisconsin's 17th State Senate District race. We'll hear from his Democratic opponent, Pat Bomhack, when we continue. Both candidates are from Spring Green. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Audio archives of this program and links to both candidates' websites can be found on our website at WPR.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, an election forum presenting candidates in Wisconsin's 17th State Senate District, Democrat Pat Bomhack and Republican Howard Markline. Schedules prevented a joint appearance, so instead, we're presenting individual conversations with each candidate. They've been asked the same questions, and they were asked to keep their responses to around a minute and a half. We turn now to Democrat Pat Bomhack. And one important note to listeners, while there may be differences in how the candidates in this race approach opportunities for debates, which is how Pat Bomhack characterizes our forum, this discussion was never intended as a debate, and our choice to interview and present the candidates individually was based purely on schedules and logistics. Pat Bomhack, I'm wondering if you can just first tell me a bit about yourself, your life in Wisconsin, your work, your family, anything you want to share just about those who don't know who Pat Bomhack is.
Well, first, I want to thank Wisconsin Public Radio for setting up this forum. And I'm grateful for the fact that this was meant to be a debate. People out here expect the candidates to debate, and they believe there should be debates. Because when you debate as a candidate, you have to stand there without your money and stand on your record. So I regret that Howard declined to do the debate and rather insisted that we only appear separately. In the last 4 years, Howard has raised a lot of money from out-of-state millionaires who have their own agendas and have never been in Southwest Wisconsin themselves. But Howard Markline has done very little for the people out here, and I think he owes it to us to tell us where he stands.
So now can you tell me a bit about yourself and your life in Wisconsin and your family and your work?
I'm a former legislative staffer to U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, and I'm a lawyer in Spring Green, working on building my own practice. And my goal is that once elected to the state senate, I can practice law in the community a quarter time as well, so that I can be a citizen legislator and, while being a public servant, still be involved in the life of the community.
So why is it that you've decided to run for the 17th Senate District seat?
The reason I'm running is because I'm deeply concerned about what I see going on in Madison, especially with the extremism that seems to be taking hold of our state capital. And Howard Markline is certainly one of the flag bearers for the more extreme elements of the Republican Party. You know, the Wisconsin that I believe in and the Wisconsin government that I believe in is about working together. It's about building consensus. That's what people out here in Southwest Wisconsin, they do that in their families, they do that in their businesses, they do that in their religious and other civic institutions, and I think they expect people in Madison to be able to do the same thing. And so what I'm focused on is carrying forward Dale Schultz's proud legacy of being someone who has an independent mind, who's willing to work on behalf of the people, not just his political party, and is willing to reach across the aisle and try and find places of agreement, compromise, and consensus. Because to me, in a world of divergent opinions, the way you get things done oftentimes is by finding that consensus. And so the kind of state senator that I look to be is the kind that Dale Schultz has been, independent, bipartisan, common sense.
So how would you describe the makeup of the 17th Senate District, and what are some of the major issues that are facing the constituents in that district?
Well, probably the greatest feature of our great area, aside from our natural beauty, hardworking people, is just the fact that politically we have a very independent mind. You know, people out here, they don't like to vote for the party, they vote for the person. And so they expect that the elected official is going to represent the people and not their party. First and foremost, I think people out here are looking for someone who's going to represent the interests of Southwest Wisconsin and our rural agenda, and not the interests of an out-of-state corporation or an out-of-state millionaire who might have their own agenda. So first and foremost, I'm focused on our rural agenda, repairing our rural roads, standing up for our rural schools, getting our broadband going. And that's what I'm focused on, rather than promoting the agendas of out-of-state corporations or out-of-state for-profit voucher ideological groups like Howard Markline does.
You touched on my next question before, but if you are elected to the state Senate, what kind of senator do you plan on being, as you said, and how would you best represent the constituents?
The elected official that I look to as the role model for how to be a state senator is Dale Schultz. I just have a tremendous amount of respect for who he is as a man and who he is as a state senator. By stark contrast, you have Howard Markline, who, as just about everybody out here knows, got in this race because he was upset with Dale. He was upset that Dale Schultz didn't follow the Republican Party line 100% of the time, only voted with the Republican Party 98.6% of the time. And, you know, that just wasn't, that just didn't meet Howard Markline's purity test. And that's just what people are so sick and tired of, is these purity tests in Madison, where if you vote against the party one time, then, you know, you have someone like Howard Markline, who is so ideological that they want to run against you. And so that's going to be the stark difference in this election. Frankly, you know, Howard Markline is just part of the problem over there in Madison, and I will be part of the solution.
With the open seat in the 17th Senate District, there's a lot of people from outside Southwest Wisconsin that are really watching this race. Does this put any pressure on your campaign or change the way that you are campaigning?
It doesn't change the way we're campaigning at all, and I don't think it puts any more pressure on us. This is clearly an important race, but the most important thing that I am concerned about is how can I represent the people out here? How can I represent our rural concerns? Over in Madison and from the Milwaukee legislators, they don't fully understand the rural issues we have. They don't understand the rural economy quite as much. And so my focus is on ensuring that the agenda of our rural communities is front and center in Madison. And that's what I'm focused on. As far as the balance of power in Madison, I'll let the political pundits kind of figure all that out. But the real issue out here is, you know, are we going to have a guy representing us who will do anything for his party, like Howard Markline has done, a guy who is going to spend 4 years in Madison doing nothing but raising money from people who have never even been to Southwest Wisconsin? Or are we going to have someone like myself who wants to carry forward Dale Schultz's legacy? And so that's going to be the choice in this election.
Let's start diving into some of the key issues this election season. Obviously, we hear a lot about jobs and the economy. You know, candidates often tout job creation, but if you were elected, how would you bring jobs to the 17th district? Do you see any sectors that have the potential to grow? And do you have any sort of job plan?
It's really all about who are you fighting for? And I think we've seen in the last 4 years that, you know, the Republican Party has had one-party domination in Madison, and now our economy is falling. And I think the reason for that is that most of the policies have been benefiting large corporations, few of which are in Southwest Wisconsin, and they've been benefiting the super rich, few of which individuals live in Southwest Wisconsin. The kind of economic growth that I'm looking for is what benefits our rural communities. And that means we've got to do a couple things. We've got to repair our rural roads. I've driven just about every road out here in Southwest Wisconsin. I got to tell you, you know, they are in deteriorating condition. And it's not just a public health issue or a public safety issue. It's an economic issue. And, you know, by contrast, Howard actually voted to give over $500 million to Milwaukee County, just two projects in Milwaukee, while not supporting increased funding for out here. So rural roads is an issue. Improving our information systems, our telecommunication systems, by expanding broadband internet, that's another issue. And then, of course, you know, reinvesting in our local public schools for the long term. That is an economic issue for the long term, and we've got to do right by the children out here.
How do you view the state's budget? And if you were elected, depending on what term you want to use, because we're hearing a lot about deficit, a state debt, you know, people going into different funds to finance certain projects. Do you have any sort of thought and goal if you were elected as to how you would balance the state's budget?
Absolutely. First of all, we have to have a balanced budget, and it has to reflect Wisconsin values. And we can have a balanced budget that doesn't raise taxes on middle-income families and working families, but we've got to talk straight with people, and we've got to get rid of the corporate giveaways. We've got to get rid of the corporate giveaways and the giveaways to the super rich. And then secondly, we've got to focus on an economy that benefits middle and working class people, because when people have a job, that's the best way to improve state revenues. So the program of austerity and starving the state economy that we've seen, and the program of giving these big corporate giveaways and giveaways to the super rich, is a recipe for what we now see as a nearly $2 billion state deficit. The remarkable thing is that Howard Markline is actually supporting a deficit that would be almost $2.5 to $3 billion. He actually voted against Governor Walker's budget because it wasn't right-wing enough for him. And he touts this as a streak of his independence. But what he fails to recognize is that when Dale Schultz voted against the Republicans a couple times, it was because Dale knew they had gone too far. For Howard, Scott Walker isn't right-wing enough. And so if we go with Howard Markline, we're going to have even bigger deficits. And so the number one lie in this entire campaign is that Howard Markline is fiscally responsible. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so I'm going to fight for common sense, consensus, budget priorities that balance our budget and do it in a common sense way like we've been doing in Wisconsin previous to this administration.
I want to talk about agriculture because obviously that is a huge part of the 17th Senate district's makeup. Are there state agricultural issues that you'd like to see the legislature address?
Absolutely. You know, out here in Southwest Wisconsin, we have a proud heritage of farming and a proud heritage as being a part of the agricultural economy. And I'd like to see us protect family farms better. I'd like to see us do a better job at encouraging young farmers. I look to someone like Dick Cates, who's running for assembly here and has spent a lifetime in encouraging the next generation of farmers. I think that we can make some changes in the curriculum, even in high school, that make it more accessible for young students to learn new techniques for farming and ways to survive and build a thriving farming business. So I definitely believe that we should support our agricultural community, and I will be a strong advocate for the agricultural economy out here.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, an election forum with candidates in southwestern Wisconsin's 17th State Senate District, including Democratic contender Pat Bomhack.
Let's talk a bit about education now. There are a lot of issues surrounding K-12 education currently. How do you view the state of Wisconsin's rural school districts, and are there special needs that the state needs to address in these districts?
There are special needs that we have for our rural schools. And I think it's difficult for people who don't live in a rural community to understand how vital these schools are to our communities. They are the centerpiece of our civic life, and they're a big part of our identity out here. And absolutely, I will oppose expansion of the vouchers. We've got to go in the other direction. We've got to reinvest in our local public schools, and we've got to fix the funding formula. I support a proposal from the superintendent, Tony Evers, called Fair Funding for Our Future. And simply what it would do is, in part, is change the funding formula so that rural schools are no longer disadvantaged under the formula. You know, I was at a meeting the other day with superintendents from all over southwest Wisconsin. And one of the participants asked, how many of you in your town have had to have a referendum to cover funding needs in your school? And two-thirds or more of the people raised their hand. And so it's just a myth that the tools that have been supposedly provided have really helped, or that people's taxes are going down, because communities out here just were not surviving under the current formula. And that's just a stark divide between me and Howard. He is probably the number one poster boy for out-of-state for-profit interests. He's taken money from billionaires who have this on the top of their ideological agenda. And for him, in order to keep that money coming into his campaign account, he's got to go into Madison and make sure that more money comes out of our rural schools and gets sent to voucher schools outside the district. It's wrong. It's not right for the people out here. And frankly, I'm not going to stand for it anymore.
You touched on the voucher issue, but do you feel like the state's voucher school program, you know, there are talks about expanding it around Wisconsin, but I'm wondering if you can kind of elaborate on that and whether there is a place for voucher schools within rural districts, such as in the 17th Senate District.
I do not see a place for voucher schools in the 17th Senate District. And, you know, I would suggest to people in southeastern Wisconsin that what started as an idea 25 to 30 years ago is now clearly shown to have failed. At best, these private schools are performing at the same level as some of our public schools, but research shows time and again that the schools in Milwaukee and other places that have had these kinds of programs simply are not outperforming the public schools. And meanwhile, we're using our taxpayer public monies and giving them to private institutions. And we don't have the oversight. And so I strongly oppose that. And people who care about our public schools out here, we have a lot of concerns with Howard Markline and how devastating his policies have been for the children out here and for the families who participate in the civic life of the public schools.
Let's talk about higher education now. Are there certain issues within the higher education system that you have your mind on? And if you were elected, are there legislative changes you'd like to pursue?
Well, I think we've got to shift the burden. In the long term, we've got to shift the burden away from the student a little bit, because in the last 20 to 30 years, we've seen a significant shift in terms of who carries the burden for public university students. And I think that right now these university students are graduating with unrealistic and tremendous student loan burdens. And so I think we need to address that issue and just in general make education more affordable. You know, down here in the 17th district, what we've got to do also is ensure that our technical schools have the local control that they need. You know, for all the talk about local control from the Republicans, there was a recent study out of the state government that showed that Republicans in the assembly have passed more than 50 bills removing local control from our rural communities. And I will stand up for local control. Howard is standing up for more power in Madison, and that's going to be a choice we have for voters out here in District 17.
Let's talk about some environmental issues, obviously, with frac sand mining. There are no current active frac sand mines in the 17th Senate District, but the DNR has identified that there are deposits present. How do you think the state should work with frac sand mining companies and municipalities? Or do you think the state should stay out of the issue? Should municipalities have a say in what goes on with frac sand mining in their communities?
We've got to have more local control on this. We have a really proud tradition in Southwest Wisconsin of solving these kinds of community decisions, especially when they involve our natural resources, solving them at the community level, at the local level. I trust the local governments to do this job. Now, Howard wants the state to be in control of this job. And again, this is just gets back to the issue of local control. Now, out here in Southwest Wisconsin, I trust the local governments, and Howard has supported more than 50 bills in the assembly that remove local controls from Southwest Wisconsin and give that power to Madison. So when it comes to the issue of frac sand mining, we've got to ensure that the local residents, local governments have control over that issue. And I think as long as we do that, we'll help ensure that our environment is protected and that any mining that would occur is done in a way that is environmentally responsible.
You talked about Senator Dale Schultz earlier and how he's sort of a role model for you. But if you're elected, you'd be following in his footsteps. And, you know, over the last few years, he has been known as a moderate Republican. How will his actions influence how you'd serve the district if you were elected to the state Senate?
Well, Senator Dale Schultz has those are big shoes to fill. And he's the man that I look to as a mentor, as someone to model myself off of, because first and foremost, he put the interests of the people ahead of his party. And I think it's very telling that he refuses to endorse his fellow Republican in this race. As I said, Howard Markline is running because he did not like Dale Schultz's service in the last couple of years. And, you know, I just have a very different view on that. I think we need more people like Dale Schultz, not fewer. And so if you think Dale Schultz has done a good job, I ask for your vote. If you don't think Dale Schultz has done a good job and you want a much more conservative state assembly or state senate, then Howard Markline is your man. But I will work to carry forward that proud banner that Dale Schultz has left for us and to be someone who's bipartisan and works in a common sense consensus way.
Are there any other issues that that you want to talk about that are important to you or important to constituents in this race?
Yes. One issue I'm especially passionate about is getting big money out of our politics. The citizen is meant to be the highest office in our democracy. And under the current system, because the way money buys influence, that simply isn't the case as much as it should be. Having worked for Senator Russ Feingold, I share his views of the corrupting influence that corporate money and big money has on our political process. And that's why I refuse to accept any money from corporate PACs and registered lobbyists. Howard Markline, by contrast, is got more corporate money than just about any candidate in Wisconsin. And most of his money is from these out-of-state millionaires. And he just no longer represents the people out here. You know, he went to Madison as sort of the anti-politician. That's what he told us. But in only 4 short years, he's become an absolute pro at being a politician. And he spends a majority of his time apparently raising money because He's raised almost $300,000 in the last 300 days. Think about that. That's $1,000 a day. But what has the man done for the people out here? Very little. And so my focus is going to be on representing people. And since I don't have those ties to the big money, I'm going to have a much better opportunity to do that, and that's what I'll do.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I really appreciate, again, this forum, and I was disheartened that Howard refused to debate us, but hopefully he will stand up on his issues in the future.
Democrat Pat Bomhack is a candidate for Wisconsin's 17th State Senate District. His Republican opponent in this race is Howard Markline. Both candidates are from Spring Green. We interviewed the candidates individually because scheduling conflicts did not allow for a joint appearance this week. But for the record, Wisconsin Public Radio was not told by the Markline campaign that he refuses to participate in any debate in this race. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the candidates, as well as other election year news coverage at wisconsinvote.org.